right to welcome you back. Good morning, Dylan. It's good to see you. Thanks. Up and about, Baruch Hashem. Okay, quick 3-4 minute review. We did the Mishnah on Tazayin, which spoke about if somebody's makabel tzayin barzel from a goy. So for the up till the third generation, at least that's the simple way to read the Mishnah, up to the third generation is potter. And from there on, it's chayev. And if you maimed, if you go ahead and you maimed, you say, I'm giving the vlad as a if I put the vlad as collateral, as a specified collateral, then it goes another generation. That's the way the Mishnah reads. If Shem Gamliel gives an endless sentence. So the Gemara went through a shakl of Atari here. Now we had two ways to learn in the Rishonim. We had Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershon. And then we had a slight possible discrepancy between Rashi and the Rambam. But we basically had Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershon. Rabbeinu Gershon understood that Makabel Tzayin Barzel is like any Makabel, which means that there's a deal, I give you my cattle, you deal with the cattle, you raise them, you breed them, and then you get a percentage of the vlodas. That's how Rabbeinu Gershon learns. And so really it's a regular, traditional Makabel, and the only reason why it's called Barzel is because I take responsibility. I, the Makabel, the Jew, takes responsibility. And that's why it's called Barzel. So according to Rabbeinu Gershon, it's very clear, for sure, at least one generation, why it's Potter from Bechor. Because the mother belongs to the Goy. The mother belongs to the Goy. So that's for sure. Anything coming out of that behemoth is Potter from Bechor. It's no different than if I went to a goy and I bought all the vladas. If I went to a goy and made a deal and I said, all the vladas that come out of your behemoth are mine. Potter from Bechor. Because it has to be, the mother has to be Yad Yisrael. So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Gershon, the mother is definitely Potter from Bechor, without a doubt. And the offspring, okay, we could debate. Perhaps the fact that that you have a schus to split the offspring, that's also enough to be called that the goy has a bialus on the offspring, he's a shutif on the offspring. It happens to be that maybe the way we'll deal with the shutifs is you take half and I take half. But the fact that we have this deal hovering over us, that all the offspring gets split, put down from the briskerov, the base mayor says like that, the fact that there's a right to split something, that's also called ownership on the whole thing. And therefore, that generation is also potter. And the third generation, the next generation, should be chayiv, but they're coming out of that generation. So they're also potter. So according to Rabbeinu Gershon, we definitely understand the patur. Rashi and the Rambam learn that Makabel Tzayin Barzel is not the way we understood simply that the behemoth belongs to the goy and the deal is that it's his animal and we're just using his animal to produce, but rather it's my animal. I'm going to the goy, I'm buying an animal from the goy, and really our relationship would have already been severed immediately as soon as I bought the behemoth, but because I didn't pay for the behemoth, so we made a deal that he has certain benefits from what comes, from what the offspring, from the vladas. And here's where there seems to be a machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi seems to hold that the deal is that we split the offspring. And the Rambam seems to hold that the deal is that we just split the value and you don't get the offspring. But either way, that's Rashi and the Rambam. So the challenge now when we're going through the sugya was with these two mahalchim, was that each one was a challenge. According to Rabbeinu Gershon, it's Pashat and it's Pater from Bukhar. For sure the first generation. Of course it's Pater from Bukhar. Even the second generation. And when we say second, we mean second and a male or third. Because once the second generation is Pater, because of the guy's connection, its offspring is Pater. So whenever you talk about Ptur Bechaira, whenever you have a Ptur Bechaira, it's automatically two generations. You can never have a one generation Ptur Bechaira. It's automatically two generations. Because in order to be Chayiv in Bechaira, you need the two generations of Chayiv. So it's automatic. So according to Rabbeinu Gershon, Bechaira the Gemara doesn't even have to talk about it. It's Pashut. It's included in the din that we had. Yad Akum Behemsa. If the guy owns the ear of the mother, so that it's Pater from Bechaira. We had that in the first parak, right? If you sell the ear to the guy, so now that behemoth is Vlad's Pater, over here it's the guy's behemoth. Of course it's Pater from Bechaira. So according to Rabbeinu Gershon, we don't understand. We would have difficulty understanding what's the chiddush even. Of course it's Pater from Bechaira. That's Rabbeinu Gershon. And according to Rashi, we're going to have difficulty understanding why, in fact, it is Pater from Bukhara. So those are the two challenges. It's difficult to understand either Mahalach. Rabbeinu Gershon, at least we understand to some degree, conceptually, why it's Pater. We don't understand why the Gemara is handling with it. In Rashi, we understand why the Gemara is handling with it. But with the challenge is going to be to understand how, why is it Taka Pater? Those are the two different views here. So the Gemara said, first the Gemara started, maybe I'll read it very quickly. According to Rashi, that reads beautifully. That part of the Gemara reads beautifully. What's the reason why it's called the guys? The guy severed his relationship with the Jew. Once they made a deal, the Jew bought the animal from the guy, it's done. Why is the guy have any shaykhs? The Gemara says, no. Since you didn't finish paying the guy, he's still connected. Fine. For a minute, ain't the council in Basel, me some nation ribbons. You're now going to make a deal with a Jew. This type of a deal. So in Basel. Alma b'shusa de makabel kind. So you see that it stays in the domain. It's in the domain of the person who's accepting it, because otherwise it wouldn't be ribbons. Ribbons has to be, ribbons can only be, Where your money became mine. If the money is still yours, it's a business deal. Business deal, there's no deal of ribbis. Ribbis is only where the money is out of your domain. So the Gemara says, perhaps we could say that the Mishnah above Mitzvah is talking about Taka, with the original owner takes no responsibility. And therefore goes totally into the Makabal's domain, and therefore it's ribbis. Therefore it's ribbis, because it's like a loan. It's his, and now he's giving the owner, now he's giving the lender, he's giving the lender a benefit. Right? That's the Gemara above Metzia. And our case here maybe is where the guy is taking some form of responsibility, and therefore it's still in the guy's domain. Amalei Rava, that doesn't make sense because that's not Tzoyim Barzel by definition. The definition of Tzoyim Barzel means there's no responsibility on the owner. That's why it's called Barzel. Steal. Right? It's steal. Void, my Poska. And also, what gives you the right to say that this Mishnah is talking about this and this Mishnah is talking about that? Both Mishnayos only use the description Tzayin Basel. So Tzayin Basel has to have a meaning. The fact that the Mishnah Ezer Neshech has to find a way that you're allowed to do it, the Mishnah should make this distinction. If there's two kinds of Tzayin Basel, the Mishnah should have said that there's two kinds of Tzayin Basel. There's a Tzayin Basel that you're allowed to do, and that's where the original owner maintains some responsibility. So then it's an iske. We don't own a dozen. And this is the conclusion of the Gemara. Both cases, we're talking about absolute relinquishing of responsibility from the owner. So the owner has no achrayas. Total achrayas on the makabel. And that's the reason why in Bava Metzia we view it as ribbis. Because you, the makabel who got the cattle, it's like it's your cattle. And you owe the guy, you owe the person that gave it to you money, and now you're giving him back a benefit. You're giving him back principal plus. And that's why it's ribbis. But now, if that's the case, frek the Gemara, so why over here? Why over here is it parted from Bechor? Now again, according to Rabbeinu Gershon, Gemara should say very simple. Because you never bought it. You never bought it. Lamaisa, it's not your animal. It's not your animal. Period. It's not your animal. Maybe al talvor, al the shabbos of the animal, we could call it ribbis in Bava Metzia. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, in Bava Metzia, we have a little bit more room, wiggle room, because we could say the fact that whatever deal you made with the guy with the tzayin barzel, and you have total achrayas on the animal, it's enough in your domain that it can equal that the value of the animal is a loan. In other words, the animal represents itself, its mass, the behemoth itself, and it represents value. So in Bava Metzia, I could rationalize that the reason why it's ribbis over there, even according to Rabbeinu Gershon's description, which according to Rabbeinu Gershon's description, the animal goes back to the owner. But it's still ribbis. You know why? Because the animal not only represents itself, its mass, it represents its value. And the fact that you took total responsibility for the value of that animal, it's as though the cash value of the animal has gone into your domain. And now that cash value is going to be given back to the owner plus. Fine. It's enough to be called ribbis. But why the Gemara is struggling over here? Why is it potter from Bechaira? It's potter from Bechaira. Because Lamaisa, the animal, belongs to the guy. The mass. The mass of the animal belongs to the guy. That's all. That's enough to potter from Bechaira. So the truth is, that what I'm trying to say is, even after the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, and even after we call it ribbis, that still should not cancel the p'tur of Bechaira over here. Because over here, if there's any link to a goy, potter. Here you don't even have to look for a link. There's a link to a Jew. It's a goy's behemoth. Very difficult. According to Rashi, it's the opposite what's going on here in the Gemara. According to Rashi, we have to understand, Taka, why is it potter from Bechaira? If the only thing the goy has, if the goy, it's your animal, and fakir, makabel unsa vizula makes it better, so what the goy has? The goy has nothing yet. Why is it potter? No, but even the vladis he doesn't have, according to Rashi. The vladis of what? Okay, so what's the problem? So those vladis are potter from Bechaira. We're not talking about his vladis, talking about my vladis. The animal is mine, 100% mine. Right? The animals are 100% mine. The vladis are 50% yours. So fine, we're not dealing with the 50% that goes to the guy, of course it's potter from Bechaira. We're dealing with 50% that goes to the Jew. So the 50% of the vladis that go to a Jew, forget the Rambam is zichashver, because the Rambam learns the Jew gets all the animals. We make an assessment of the value when we give the guy some value. Forget the Rambam. But even according to Rashi, the animals are 100% mine, And the vladas are 50% mine. And 50% of the vladas that are mine 100%. And that 50% that are mine, right, however we decide to divide it, that 50%, the 50% that are mine in totality, and they were born from my animal. So it's not so partial that they should be part of a Bukhara. And you see from the Gemara, because if you're going to tell me, like the Beis Meir, that the fact that the guy can split, that's a schus enough, then that's not what the Gemara is doing. Because then the Gemara should just say that. The Gemara would have a simple answer. The Gemara doesn't have to start saying, you're grabbing, you're getting. The Gemara could say very poshut. Kivon the mechalku bevlodah shutfininu. That's not what the Gemara says. That's not what the Gemara says. So obviously, the Gemara is clear that the guy does not own the mother, according to Rashi, for sure not. And the guy doesn't own the vladas. Because if he does, that would have been the reason. Then that would, the Gemara would have a simple teretz. The Gemara says, no, it's your mother and it's your vlad. So why is it part of a bechara? Because the guy can grab it from me if I don't give him what he's supposed to get. So it's a shibut. That's all the guy has. The guy has a shibut. So he says, Hocha gabi bechara anu taime. Di ilu osi evke chodim. Boy zuzi vlo yoyv lai tofus lai behem. Till you mash kach behem tofus vladas dide. Meila hagi yadakum behem tzoch yadakum behem tzoch yadakum behem tzoch. Obviously, if you're reading through the Lashon HaGemara, the Gemara seems to be schwitzing on this. The Gemara says, well, the guy has something here. He can grab it. Machloikis, as I mentioned last week, whether this schus that the guy has to grab is actually a stated schus. It's actually part of the deal. Many learn like that. And some actually learn the guy grabs it without any schus. Just that's the minik. The minik is that the guy grabs. Which makes it even more shvah. Makes it even more shvah. We'll leave that on the side, because that pshat, al-korchach, will have to say, the only way to learn that pshat, is that since, when the Jew makes the deal with the goy, he knows that the goy will do this, so therefore he's misalik himself. He doesn't say, well, I have the rights and I'm not going to use the rights. People don't work that way. People are practical. So the Jew goes in saying, you know what? I'm misalik myself. If I don't have the money and he takes it, that is the deal. Even though it's not the stated deal, it's the way it works. Fine. So I'm not going to put a focus on that, because otherwise we'll give him a gansa mishugah. You treat that kilu, that's fine. The bottom line is, the whole Indian here is a Tzorachi and Godel. Tzorachi and Godel on Rabbeinu Gersh. Why the Gemara needs to come on to Kivan Dilu Tofus. It's a Tzorachi and Godel. And as I explained, even the Vlad, according to Rabbeinu Gersh, is Shver. Because once we learn that the Goy has a Schus, it's his behemoth. Then Taka the Schus Chaluka, then I would agree with Zev that the Schus Chaluka also gives him a Schus in the Vladas. It's his mother. And therefore the offspring that come out is his, which is he has a Schus now to take out of it. And therefore it's Be'etzim Ashutfis. So it makes sense that the Vladas should also be part of him. It's not a deal that I give him Vladas. He has a Schus, he owns the mother. And in the mother, he has an inherent right to half the vladas. That's a shukfis. To me, that's much more problematic. So we don't exactly understand why the Gemara has to come on to tofis lay. The Gemara should just say it's the guys. Finished. This is what I was telling you. Why I don't want to learn shukfis, because the Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara should say it. That's the most simple way to learn. Shukfis. It's not what the Gemara says. And according to Rashi, we very much remain with this difficulty of understanding why is it possible. So we have a Chazon Ish and a Ritva in Bava Metzia that both say pretty much the same thing. Last week we went through the Rambam, We had two ways to learn the Rambam. We had the Lacha Mishnah's way to learn the Rambam. And the Rit Al-Ghazi's way to learn the Rambam. According to the Rit Al-Ghazi, Rashi and the Rambam are one opinion. And Rashi holds that even if the Vlad is not part of the deal, Rashi would still say Potter. And the Rit Al-Ghazi says, if you remember what we last week we did at Ois Yud Ches there in the Rit Al-Ghazi, says the only reason why it says Vladis in Rashi is because that's the way they normally did it. It doesn't have to be that way. And the Rambam says clearly that it doesn't have to be that way. That I can have any deal with the guy. So basically, according to the Rambam, I bought the animal, I get the Vladis, and the only thing the guy has is a financial value right to a percentage of the Vladis, which I pay him off with cash. It's a tight stuff plan. Now, comes a Chazon Ish. I'll read you what the Chazon Ish says in Negeah to our sugya. Chazon Ish basically says, this doesn't really make sense. How in the world is the shibud of the goy being able to grab the animal if I don't pay him? How does that make a patur b'chayim? And he says exactly what we discussed last week. What would be if you borrow money from a goy? Regular case. You borrow money, you're bal chayiv. And the goy has a shibud on your nechasim. The goy could come and take your nechasim. So everything you own now is patur from b'chayim. You owe a guy money. You owe Chris money. And Chris has a shibud. The milva b'shtar. The guy has a shibud on your property. Find me one mishnah in Bechiris that says that if a Jew is a bal choyv to a guy, he owes him money, that now the Jew's potter from Bechiris. The fact is, the guy can grab it. If you don't pay him, he can grab it. So any Jew that's a bal choyv to a guy should be potter from Bechira. Oh! No. But he can always grab the animal. Nichsei devar ina shin in arvin lay. So kamza chazon ish. Comes the Chazon Ish in our sugya, and Chazon Ish says that this is dafka apoytiki. Says the Chazon Ish like this. The dafki behemido apoytiki, the shibud vada yenu peteras. Chazon Ish says that a shibud, of course, doesn't pater from Bechira. So the fact that a goy has a right to go ahead and take your behemah doesn't make a patur Bechira. For sure not. It's only because this is an apoytiki. Because the goy has almost, this is his first place where he goes. It's like a designated apoyte koi, take this. That's what a Chazon Ish understands. Therefore, according to the Chazon Ish, it's only applicable here, but there is a big kash on the Chazon Ish. The kash on the Chazon Ish is, so why did our Mishnah talk in such a liberal term? Why did our Mishnah talk this way? There should have been one Mishnah in Bechiras that says, you should know, anytime there's a shibud, which is apoytiki, is potter from Bechira. We got so stuck here in that same Bowser, we got so confused and so dizzy. We wouldn't have gotten dizzy, we wouldn't have gotten confused, and we would know the halacha. Should just be a mishnah in Bechira that says, very simple, mi sheyesh loy behema shehi apoytiki loy vekichovim, hi uvlado pturim in HaBechira. It would be finished. We would have finished last week already. We've been in the next sugya. And we would have known what's going on. Finished. So if the Chazon Ish is right, that the magic over here, the magic of the sugya is, I mean, think about this whole shakl of Atariya with the Gemara, with the Ilula, push it. Just tell me straight and simple. We know there's two kinds of collaterals. We're already holding in Bukharis. Whoever's holding is already went through most Ishas. They know already that there's two kinds of liens. There's a generic lien, and there's a specific lien. It's called Apoitiki. So the Mishnah should say, Mi Sheyesh Le Apoitiki Mevikei Chovim Pturim and Abukhayra. Period. Very difficult. That's why it's extremely difficult to learn like the Chazon Ish. Very, very difficult. And he doesn't really explain this point. Let me just see if there's two pieces in the Chazon Ish. Yeah, it doesn't really explain this point. He just bases it on Apoitiki. That's all. It's all Apoitiki. I'm just going to see the second piece. By the way, this is in Simon Yutes. Bevadai eino yecholoi. This is what the Chazon Ish says. This is the way he understands Apoitiki, which is the way most understand Apoitiki. Apoitiki means either pay me or give me this. Meaning, it's like a restricted lien that it's not that I could take this, but if you don't pay me, I could take this. In other words, don't make me have to go through a garage sale here. It's either you pay me what you owe me, or I'm taking that. That's an apoitiki. So even though every shibur, technically everything is meshubah to me, yeah, but I don't really have rights. I as the malveh, don't have rights to go into your garage and say, I like that antique vase. You could say, I'm sorry, you're not getting the antique vase. There's a set of china next to it. That's what you're taking. But apoitiki, I don't have such a right. Chazon Ish says, that's the kunz here. The Chazon Ish learns that alone is a shutfis. So again, I'm not saying it's not miskabel al adas. You could be miskabel al adas. I could hear both ways. I could hear yes and I could hear no. But the bottom line is that the Mishnah doesn't say that. And the Mishnah should have said it. And if the Mishnah would have said it, it would have saved us a major heartache, number one. And number two, we would know the halach. We would talk about the halach. Now there's a ritva in Bava Metzia. And the ritva in Bava Metzia learns mamish like the Chazon Ish. But with one distinction. On daf ayin, here, there's divrei ha-maskel elo morava, the same divrei ha-maskel. Daf ayin amud beis. In Bava Metzia, the Ritva says as follows. He says, "Ulfi divrei Rashi, afal pi di isel behem agufa, yochol l'salak le bezuzi." He says, according to Rashi, it's your animal, be'etzem. And you all you have to do is pay him for the animal. You don't have to give him anything. He's explaining Rashi Shita, the way Rashi learns Tzoyin Barzel, that the animal's the Jews. I mean, he doesn't have to give the, even if the animal's standing here, he doesn't have to give the animal back to the guy. So technically, it's a Jews. So the Ritva says, so what's the key? Says the Ritva, Avol metatlon acherim einum yocholim. You can't give mother metatlon. Mamish like the Chazon Ish. So far, I would have the same kash I'm asking on the Chazon Ish I would have on the Ritva. According to the Ritva, why doesn't our Mishnah say, and our poetiki is part of a Mechira? But the Ritva makes a major difference. Major difference. Because the Ritva says as follows. Okay, good. And Rava taught us, the af al gav the apoitiki ba'alma the ikal legoi be'edroi shel Yisrael ain't I niftal man ha'bechayra. Now it's gewaldic. The Ritva comes and he says, what would be taka if you had an apoytiki in your barn? A goy had an apoytiki. You paid $100,000 loan from a goy, and the goy walked into your barn and he said, listen, you don't pay me? These cows are where I'm collecting. You can't give me a china. This is what I'm getting. Either you're paying me, or I'm getting these cows. Says the Ritva, that would be chayiv and b'chayiv. Says the Ritva, hocha. He seems to be making Tosfos distinction. Hocha. Kivon shahoyu abehem shalei. They originally were the goys. Started out being the goys. And the goy has an apoytiki. Okay, that's a different story. Strange. That same kasha we had on Tosfos. So we're going to have to understand. But what I'm saying is that Lamaisa, the Ritva, is very different than the Chazon Ish. And the Ritva, I don't have any kashas of what's... Now I understand, our sugya has to struggle. Because the fact is, it's a struggle. It's a new Chiddush that a Makabel Sein Barzel plus a Apoytiki. Okay, so now I understand. According to the Chazon Ish, it's a Pella. It's a Pella. It's a Pella, I think it's almost not passable. I don't even know how it's passable according to the Chazon Ish. No, because Chazon Ish says klar that the reason why our poetiki is different than shibud is because since this is he has to give this to you, it's a shutfus. That alone is a shutfus. The Ritva, the Chazon Ish doesn't say that. The Ritva says it. Now, if you want to tell me, maybe the Chazon Ish doesn't mean what he's saying. Maybe, I have no problem, then I have no cash. If the Chazon Ish means something like the Ritva, I have no cash on the Chazon Ish either. I agree. I'm just saying, if the Chazon Ish means what he says without any hagoyas from Yidl, then I don't understand the Chazon Ish. If you want to put in that Yidl says that the Chazon Ish really means what the Ritva is saying, I would say, Shein, he's a Rebbe Sheinikel, Yesuch HaKedesh, he knows this is what he means, okay. What? Yeah. Mistami knew the Ritva. Well, some of these things were reprinted. Could be the Chazon Ish's Ritva, it's Shaykh. Especially above Metzi, there's a lot of new things in the Ritva. Have to look back in all the versions to see this. Oh, Chatuade, no, Yelain Malach, Yelam, Shach, Kill, Yelain Malach. So anyway, so we're going to take the approach of the Ritva. We still have difficulty to understand how it works. We're back to really where we were with Tosfos. Because really, if you think about it, Tosfos and our sugya came out and said the same thing. Tosfos asked a question from the Gemara in Kiddushin, in Pesachim. Tosfos' focus really was in the sugya in Pesachim. Where the Gemara says, again, let's just see that those words again, that's where we left off. Taisa says, "Heicha demotzi Yisrael usluki bezuzi." If the Yisrael, this is the case of Behemoth Arnuna, this is a case where the goy has a right als tax to collect this animal. Here it's mamish an apoytiki, be'etzem. It's more than an apoytiki. It's almost, this is what the debt, this is what the tax is on the animal. So, the goy has, it's a behemoth arnuna. But the Jew could redeem it. The Jew could redeem the animal, meaning the Jew, when they come to collect it, he could give the taxpayer cash. It's almost like a new transaction, you would think. You would think it's almost like a new transaction. So over there it says that if it's motzi l'sluki bezuzi, heicha de motzi Yisrael l'sluki bezuzi, it's chayiv in b'chor. V'ochanami yov leizuzi lo tofes levlad. I mean, really, the kash is even bigger than Tosfos is making it out. It's 20 times better than our case. In our case, it's my vlad. And I don't have to give the guy my vlad. It's only if he doesn't get what he's supposed to get, it'll come to my vlad. Even if it's an apoytiki. Over there, it's the opposite. The goy has a right to this behemoth. I could redeem it. And that redeeming is enough to keep it in the Rishus of the Jew for Bechira. So Tosfos says the same difference that the Ritva is saying in Baba Vemetzia, to explain why over here the animal is potter from Bechira, Tosfos is using that same line of reasoning to explain why it's chayiv in Bechira. In Pesach, because it's originally the Jews. Belongs to the Jew originally. There's a shibud. It's true, it's like an apoteki. It's maybe better than an apoteki, because he's coming out to behem itself. The kivon the efshel sluke bezuze lo yotza mirshus Yisrael. That's what he says. So Tosfos really is using the reverse. It's the same svara of the Ritva and Bava Metzia, but instead of supporting the Ptur, it's supporting the Chiyuv Bechor. Over here, the Goy has the original ownership. The Apoitiki is supporting that. That's why it's Potter from Bechor. So the Apoitiki strengthens, the hand of the Goy, because he originally owned the animal. Tosfos is going in the reverse. Tosfos is saying, and where the Goy has an apoteki that is not complemented by his ownership, but just the opposite, it's complemented by the Jew's ownership, and therefore it's not a complement, so then it doesn't pater from him. That's Tosfos. Okay. This is all new things. All of this is new. The Ritva is new. Tosfos is new. Because till now we understood Shibud is whatever Shibud is. Apoitiki is whatever Apoitiki is. All of a sudden now we're mixing in what you once owned. It's not yours anymore. I mean, it is what it is. All of this is Chadoshes. You should know that Rav Eliashiv Zatzal in his Ha'oros also is bothered with what is going on here. What is this? What's going on here? What's the Ptur? And he doesn't quite say, not like the Chazon Ish, not like the Ritva. But he seems to be going along these lines that it's some kind of new thing over here. Tzorich levaya etzem din mishnosenu. He says, v'chi bishvil sheyochol ligvois mitzoyim ba'azol yafkia koichosh o makabel. He takes on for Dover Poshet Rav Eliashiv. Apoitiki does nothing for Bechira. Not in a positive, not in a negative. He says, the chiafkia koichoi shom akamel? Migora ze mikol chefit shasoy apoitiki. Rav Eliashiv says, why is this worse than an apoitiki? Again, Rav Eliashiv is dismissing the possibility that apoitiki should be potter from Bechira. Why is this better than any apoitiki? Shevadai b'shus b'ayl of koi l'inyin Bechira. Where did Rav Eliashiv get that from? I believe Lufiani is deity, from the same place I got it from. Because there is no place in Bechira that says otherwise. That would be a major chiddush that we need a psa mishnah for. This mishnah is almost telling you the opposite. It's only tzayim b'azam. Because you can collect this thing, yesh lo yad b'zeh. The mikol mokayim, achshav ein lo iklum. So he brings Tosfos. He brings Tosfos, and he dismisses what is the pashup shot on Tosfos, because Tosfos seems to say that there's a difference between if you previously owned it, or you didn't previously own it, like the Ritva is using in the other direction. So he quotes Tosfos, and then he says, "V'nira, the Tosfos loy bo lechalik, the kan bo mishus akum, the kan bo mishus Yisrael." Now, even though that's what Tosfos says. He says, it's hard to learn Tosfos. The mind of kamina, who cares? Be'etzem din amamim. So he therefore says that maybe what Tosfos means over here is not that there's a difference historically. If you owned it before, you didn't own it before. Taisus really means a balabata shesfara. Taisus means that since the goy originally owned the animal, when he tells you, very similar to what I was telling you, how do you learn, those who learn that over here the goy is not even doing it as part of the deal? He's just grabbing it. So I said, well, since it's known that that's what the goy does, so when you go in the deal, you understand that you're relinquishing your rights in that way. So the Rav Eliashiv wants to say that Taisus really means a non-choshe mishpat svara. Taisus means a balabatish svara. Since the guy originally owned this animal, and he's having trouble getting rid of it, the haraya, he's leaving rights to collect from it itself, right? So it means he's showing he's still linked to it. He's really holding on to the behemoth itself. That's what he says. It's not a lumdish svara. According to Rav Eliashiv, Toysis is not saying a lumdish svara. I don't think that that works in the Ritvan Bav Metzian. I don't think that works in Ritvan Bav Metzian. But this is what he's saying here in Toysis. Here in Toysis he says, El Kavanosei Kivan the Bar Meshus Akum Shier Ha'akum Zchusei B'chefetz. It's almost like a tenai. That's the way of Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv wants to say that what Toysis is really telling us is that the goy is making like a tenai. Basically, goy is saying like this, listen, this originally was mine. Everything was mine, like Lovan. It's all mine. Okay? So we're making a deal. I'm selling it to you. But if you don't pay me, then it's still mine. It's almost like a huvra adovel mafreya. That's what he wants to say. And therefore, it's called mikri yad akumbay. Therefore, it's mikri yad akumbay. Mashenkin bar nuno shemayikra shol yisraelu v'chein b'stama poitiki. That's Rav Eliashiv. Again, so the way Rav Eliashiv is learning, it's a very balabatish yisfora. It's a balabatish yisfora. It's difficult to put into Toysis. I don't think we could put it into the Ritva, Bechlal, the Ritva's Losh. And more than everything, what bothers me is our Gemara. If we're going to learn like Rav Eliashiv, why is the Gemara krich in the ventral? The Gemara says, Kivan di'ilu this. The Gemara should say the main punchline. The main punchline is that the goy, Kivan di'iloy of Zuze. What? Kivan di'iloy of Zuze, birshuse da'akum kaime. It's not that the goy will come and be toifus. That's very misleading. Because the fact that the goy could be toifus itself doesn't change anything. So it's not because the goy could be toifus. So what's the punchline? So the punchline is that it's still under the shoes of the guys.
So he retained the right to be
toifus. It's not even retained the right. The whole point of Rav Eliashiv. The whole point of Rav Eliashiv is you don't need tefisa. That's his whole point. Rav Eliashiv's whole point is anything that needs tefisa, one part of from b'chayr, because it's not ownership. That's his point. His point is anything that needs tefisa. His whole point is that here, since there's such a type of a deal, I don't have to grab it. Once you don't pay me, it's mine. I don't have to take it from you. I gave it to you if you pay me. And if you don't pay me, it's mine. So in fact, it's still mine. That's Rav Eliashiv's whole point. So the Lashon HaGemara is very, at the very least, very misleading. Because the Gemara is saying the reason which halacha is not applicable. That reason is not applicable. Because if that would be the reason, then stama poetiki should be also part of halacha. The way the Gemara reads, it's definitely allowing the Chazon Ish's chiddush. See, that's for sure. See, the Chazon Ish's chiddush actually fits beautifully in the Gemara. Because the Gemara seems to say, since you could grab it, it's yours. That's all. Since you could grab it, it's enough to part from Bukhara. Period. That's all. Chazon Ish takes it to all the way. Chazon Ish says that. Chazon Ish says, oh, if that's the case, every Shibud. No, regular Shibud. He can grab it. He can grab something. He can't grab it. By a poetiki, he can grab it. So he's better off. Because he could grab it. That's why he's better. That's the Chazon Ish. Okay? Fine. So we have a major challenge on the Chazon Ish from the whole Masechta. But in our Gemara alone, if we limit it just to the words of the Gemara, okay. That's it. Taka in the Shulchan Aruch of the Chazon Ish, there's a simon. Apoiteki. Right. Simon shin something. Apoiteki. Uboy si'if echot. Apoiteki potom and abuchayr. And over there, you could put a naim l'mishpat, singing above mitzvah, keeping it in the tough azak. That's all. Done. That's Chazon Ish. Problem is, so why doesn't it say it anyway in the Masechta? Why is there a Mishnah? Why did the Mishnah have to talk about St. Basil? Just, those are all problems. But I'm just saying the Gemara itself. Rav Eliashiv is more difficult because Rav Eliashiv is saying that what the Gemara is saying actually is against what really works for Bechara. Because if you have to grab it, then it's not enough to pater from Bechara. So that's why I asked the Yerlim to look up the sugi there above in Kedushin and the sugi in, later on. Because these two sugis, which I always use when it comes to Shibud, these two sugis, because they're very critical to understand how Shibud works. But if I don't know if you got a chance to see the Gemara later on, but the Gemara later on Daf Mem Ches, what? That's the Sugi Kedushin. But I want to bring the Gemara on the Gemara on Daf Mem Ches says like this, Mem Ches Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Shohayu B'Yirachas. If you have two Yosef ben Shimons that live in one city, okay, there's always a challenge in Shas when you have two people with the same name. Because basically, any shtar, any document you have against two people with the same name, and Jews didn't have last names, right? Last names is a new thing. So all Jews were known by Pliny ben Pliny. So if you have two Yosef ben Shimons, you can't collect. So what they do, sometimes if they knew about it in advance, they would go up another generation. I once did that in the Shtar Ksuda. Because I had two Adim that were unrelated, but they both had, their fathers had the same name. So there's a Chashash Laz. Some hold, there's a Chashash Laz. That people later look at the Ksuda and they'll say, oh, it looks like brothers. Even though Mechtesa. So some don't use such Eidim. So my initial reaction was, let's get another Eid. But I saw that I was getting very, it was sensitive. They really, this was a keeper they wanted, and this was a, so I figured, okay, I better think of another Eid, if there is one. So I said, well, put down your grandfather's name. So I had both people put their grandfather's name. Pliny, Ben Pliny, Ben Pliny. No problem. That's a simple Eid. So if you have Yosef ben Shimon and you do that, you have no problem. But you didn't do that. You have a shtar that just says, Yosef ben Shimon. That's all it says. Yosef ben Shimon. So Yosef ben Shimon. So now you have Yosef ben Shimon. So the Gemara says like this. You can't collect from either one. Because both of the guys could take you to tell you to take a walk. I'm not the Yosef ben Shimon. The other guy is. But what happens if the two Yosef ben Shimons buy a property together? So now I'm a good child. They shouldn't do that. But they did. The two Yosef ben Shimons bought a property. And there's enough collateral in the property that half of it would represent the whole debt. So now I'm in business. I go to the property, take half of it. Now I tell them to take a walk. Now they say, well, Abba, you guys can fight it out. Who's the real Yezib and Shimon? I get my half. You guys work it out. So that's what the Gemara wants to say. Shnei Yezib and Shimon. Hadorim b'irachas. So the Gemara says, V'lokhu sodi b'shutfis. Balchoiv goive oisoi mehem. The Balchoiv now could take it. Because he could say, listen, it's either you or you. Omla yibididach masik naman sa didach kashikil nevi b'chavim masik naman sa chavim kashikil. Either way, I'm okay. That's what you mean. Omar Rav Michti, Nichsi Devarin Nishana Avonleim, Ika Deika Lede Motsi Tova Lov Motsi Tova. It's Machloikis HaMeroyim here, whether you can collect. Rav Yirmiyah says, yeah. Rav Yirmiyah says you could collect. Because you could say, Mamalashach. Either it's yours, or it's yours. You owe me the money, you owe me the money. Either way, this field is mine. Halfway. I'm taking my half. You have an identity issue? Fight it out together. Rova says, no. Nichse devarin shin in Avonlay. Right? Nichse devarin, that's his lashon. Nichse devarin shin in Avonlay. It's only a cosigner. If you can't go to the guy, you can't go to his property. You're trying to be a chevroman. You're saying, I'll go straight to the property. I'm going straight to the property. I don't care. You guys fight about who's Yosef ben Shimon. I know who Yosef ben Shimon. You know the right Yosef ben Shimon. You want to fight about it, you fight about it. I'm taking my half. Rova says, no, you can't do this. The property is like a cosigner. If you can't go to the cosigner, the guy, you can't go to the cosigner. You can only go to the cosigner if you can go to the guy himself. What's really the essence of the machlekes? This is a very broad Indian, but since we're already over time, so I'll make it 1, 2, 3, which is, there are two ways to look at a shibud. You can look at a shibud as midin orif. A shibud could be viewed as a cosigner. That's one way to look at a shibud. Which means that the shibud is a secondary source. You owe me money, and then I go to the secondary source as your representative. And I say, okay, pay. So I'm almost going to another source that's bouncing off of you. It's bouncing off of you. Really, you owe me the money. So that's what Rava's saying. Rava's saying is, you can't go to property directly. You have no business with the property. The property represents your balchoiv. So you have to be able to identify a balchoiv in order to be able to go to the property. That's what Rava says. Rav Yirmiyah says no. Rav Yirmiyah obviously learns, shibud is midin kinyan. Shibud is an ownership. Shibud is an ownership. And therefore, when I make a loan with you, the shibud makes me like a shtickle shutafir. I don't need to come to you anymore. You've assigned me to have collection rights to your properties. So now I have a shtickle ownership on the properties. I don't need to go to you anymore. You're out of the picture. I'm not going to you. I'm going to your property. That's the pshat.
You have the right to go there first?
That's a different thing. Ein goivim in a chosim eshubodim b'mokom shkeish p'nei choyrin. I have a right as a balchoyv to be misalik you, to say, here, take money instead of that. Then we start exchanging rights. But no different than two partners can exchange.
Really, my rights are primary. Really, I can go straight.
Yeah. That's if you hold shibud as midin kinyan. And by the way, again, this is not for now, but this is a broad machloikis throughout Shas. If shibud is midin kinyan, or shibud is midin arev. And I once saw years ago, in the Masis, Moshe Chevroini, say Chetzadik Levrocha, the old two Rosh Hashivas ago in Chevron, he has a piece in his Masis Moshe Bava Basra, where he wants to make a machlokes Rishonim, because some Rishonim say that the reason why you're nechasim ha-meshubah to me is because kol ma shekono eved kono rabbi. So it's almost like a eved loyvel ishmalva, When I lend you money, you should go Eved. And now the Komashikon Eved Konarabe. He says, that's like a Kenyan. I own your Mechosim. Others learn it out of the Pasuk of Anoichi Ervenu, and there's a Hashbam like that. That's already all fluff. I don't mean negatively. It's like that's all, you know, poetically how to explain it. But the hard fact is that there's a machlokes amigoyim, whether I can go to property directly or not. That's a machlokes amigoyim, whether you could do that or not. Even when I can't go to you, can I go to the property? And that makes this chiluk. Now, l'chayra, if we paskin like Rava, so we hold that Shibud is not midin kinyan. We hold Shibud is midin arif. And we hold that you don't own the property. Okay? Now, where is the room for debate? By apoytiki. Maybe apoytiki is like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah learns every Shibud is like that. Boom! Maybe apoytiki has that same thing, like you own, it's yours. Maybe. Right? L'chayra, that's the pshat in the Chazanish. If you ask me what I think is a pshat in the Chazanish, Chazanish learns it's true. By a regular Shibud, we don't go like Rabbi Yirmiyah and say, wow, it's mamish yours. Right? We don't go so far. But when it's an apoytiki, then it is a Kenyan. Then it's a Shibud midin Kenyan. And perhaps you could even give it a little hesber. You could say the reason why we hold Shibud is not midin Kenyan is because it's all over the place. The mere fact is what David was asking. The mere fact that I could push you off and say, no, not here, here, not here, here. That makes the ownership flimsy. You can't own a Dover Shanim Suyim. Maybe that's why we don't hold it's a Kenyan. And that's why Apoytiki raises the bar. Because now it is this item. It's not a Dover Shanim Suyim. But, as I said, we saw from the Ritva, and we saw from Tosfos, that Stam Apoytiki also wouldn't be enough. And if it would be enough, the Gemara should have spoken about it. So I could tell you the same thing. And Apoytiki, even though it raises the level, but since the fact is I could be Misalaki with money, that's also enough to be called you don't have ownership. Your ownership is only if I don't pay you. And that's when Rav Eliashiv is screaming. He's Apoytiki, he's not yours. Mechusar Gavayna. It's not yours now. Yeah, if, but it's not. Right now, it's not. So Rav Eliashiv is basically saying that even an apoytiki is unacceptable to learn a Shibud midin kinyan, and I believe that the Ritva is saying exactly like Rav Eliashiv. That's what the Ritva is saying in Bava Metzia. The Ritva is saying in Bava Metzia that Stam an apoytiki would not pater from Bechara, because it's not a kinyan. But here, where you here, it's different. So I think that the Hezbollah Dover, you could say, here to explain, and this will explain all the Shittas, Rabbeinu Gershon and Rashi really would explain all, is that the reason, there are two ways to look at what you're missing in a Shibud. And I would suggest that there's two things missing in a Shibud. There's two issues that are missing in a Shibud. Issue number one, the reason why a Shibud is not a Kenyan is because, like we said, it's flimsy. You don't even have an isolated item that you could say that you're a mechutin. You definitely don't own all of my property, right? I owe you $100. You don't know everything I own. You have a flimsy, it's not even directed. Once you make it an apoytiki, it raises it, no question. And that's why some say, Chazanish says that you're in business, have an apoytiki. Say it like this. There's another thing missing in Shibud. What's missing in Shibud is there's no Maisa Kinyan. Which is really what I think you could say is Rav Eliashiv's title. Till you collect it, where's your Kinyan? Where's your Maisa Kinyan? When I borrowed money from you, I zecha didn't make a Maisa Kinyan with you on my apoytiki. For sure not. Where was there, a Kinyan means a transfer of domain. Where was there a transfer of domain? So in other words, number one, it's a Dover Sheni Mesuyim. And number two, there was no transfer of domain. It never moved from my domain to your domain. So it's a flimsy thing that didn't even happen. And every Kenyan, by definition, whether it's Meshicha, Hagbah, it's a transfer of domain, it's a transfer of Rishuyas. Comes Tosfos, and I think this is mamish what the Ritva is saying. Saying like this, if you have an apoyteki that you already had a kinyan on, so you don't need to transfer it into your domain. It's already was in your domain. So you're not missing a maisa kinyan. So now the only problem we would have is conceptually, which item is yours? That apoyteki does. That's why if you have apoyteki complementing the domain, mazel tov. Because then you have the specific item, and you don't have a problem where, how did it get here? The truth is you should know, there's a Tosfos in Bava Basra Daf Nun, which I also say is the same thing. Tosfos in Bava Basra talks about Kinyan Peres. Tosfos Kinyan Peres is, if you hold Kinyan Peres as Lavka Kinyan Aguf, so it means it's not a real ownership. Right? Tosfos seems to learn the same thing. Tosfos says, you know when Kinyan Peres is not Kinyan Aguf? That's if you buy a Kinyan Peres from me. But if I sell you something, and I keep a Kinyan Peres, then it is good. Yeah? In other words, Kinyan Peres is not called ownership. That's if what? If I go to you and I say, David, sell me your Peres. I want to have a rights to your trees in the backyard. I want to have a Kinyan on those apples that have come out. So that's Kinyan Peres, Lavka, Kinyan Guf. Tosfos says, but if David would come to me, sell me his field, and say, but I'm keeping my Kinyan Peres, then it is Kinyan Aguf. The whole sugya, Menashe Yishem Shem Yishloshim Yehim, who goes out B'din Yehim Yehimayim, it's all sugya there. If I sell my Eved to somebody else, and I say, the first 30 days he's still working for me, and I knock his tooth out, he goes out of Ben Chayim. Because he's still mine. It's mamish what this is. That means, here the whole issue of Shibud, we have two problems. One is that it's not specific, and one is that there was never a transfer of Rishus. Says Tosfos, if that issue is isolated, we don't have a problem. And that's what Tosfos, that's what the Ritva is saying above the Metzia, that if the Goy made an apoyteki, which is a schus, it's not enough of a schus that the schus alone takes it out of a domain. But now it doesn't have to take it out of a domain. It wasn't his domain. What? It's a shear of an apaytiki. Yes. It's a shear of apaytiki. And now we understand why it's only isolated to Tzayim Balzer. Because it's only something that really was the guy's originally. And it never left his domain. It's a yad hakum b'emza. Because there's a piece that's still by the guy. If all the guy has is a shibud, it's not in his domain. If it's not in his domain, it's any shaloi v'any b'shusay, it's not. That's the yisur. With this, we'll understand our benediction. Maybe we'll spend, even though we're going moving on next week, I'll just spend the first couple of minutes just to explain Rabbeinu Gershon and Rashi. But I think now we have a mahalach.
In general, the apoyteki issue. What happens if something happens to it? What happens if something happens to this designated item?
So then I still have a shibud on the rest of the property, like anything else.
Right. So how does apoyteki help?